Thank you, Quartet and Kim. Wonderful news, wonderfully done. Happy Resurrection Day, dear brothers and sisters and guests here at Canton Grace Church. Please stand for the reading of God's great news. Today's scripture is found in two portions of chapter 3 in the book of Philippians, 10 to 14 and 20 and 21. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Thank you. You may be seated.
Yeah, thank you, Norm, for so capably reading God's Word. A story is told of a youth who was playing outside, playing some basketball in the driveway. He lost his contact lens. And after a thorough search, he came in and he told his mom that he'd looked for it everywhere. He couldn't find the contact lens. Undaunted, the mother went out, looked, came back in, and behold, she had the contact lens. And the youth said to his mom, "Mom, how did you manage to find it? I looked everywhere for that." And the mother said, "Well, we were looking for two different things. You were looking for a piece of plastic, and I was looking for $150. Stories also told of football great Bob Kuchenberg. Bob Kuchenberg played for the Miami Dolphins, and he was relaying the story about how he went to college. His dad and his uncle both were part of the circus and were cannonballs. They were shot out of cannons. And his dad said to him, "If you don't want to be a cannonball, you better go to college." And one day his uncle was shot out of the cannon, missed the net, and hit the Ferris wheel. So he went to college. Certain things motivate people, and motivation is an important thing in life, isn't it? After we give our life to Jesus Christ and we trust that he personally died on the cross for us, really the name of the game is to become more like him. That is the name of the game after we come to Christ. And nothing motivates a person to become more like Jesus than his death and his resurrection from the dead. And it not only motivates us, it empowers us to do so. How does the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ help us to become more like Jesus? How does the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ help us to become what Jesus wants us to become? In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, we see how the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ enables us to be all that he would want us to be. I invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians 3 is about becoming more like Jesus. That's what the chapter is about, being conformed to the image of his son. And let's look at where the resurrection of Christ fits in all of that. First thing that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus enables us to do, enables us to experience his power, his resurrection power in the present. In the present. verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul says, my desire is to know him. And the idea of the word know is to know him experientially. It's not merely to have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus, to understand facts about him. He was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. It's more than just knowing facts about a person. It's intimately knowing that person. My desire, now that I know him, is to really, really get to know him. And isn't that what we want to do when we meet a person that we really enjoy? We want to get to know him or her more intimately, more deeply, more personally. And that's what Paul says. I want to know him experientially, more deeply. And then he goes on and says, I also want to know the power of his resurrection. One of the ways I can get to know him better is to experience his resurrection power working in me and through me. One way I get to know Jesus better is to have him work in my heart and my life. And think about it. To raise somebody from the dead takes more power than anything else that we know. To raise somebody from the dead takes more power than to blow up an entire city. To raise somebody from the dead takes more power than to lift a spacecraft from the earth and to put it on the moon. To raise somebody from the dead takes more power than to rip one of these pews apart with your bare hands. To raise somebody from the dead takes more power than anything that we know. And Paul says, in order for me to get to know Jesus more, I want to experience the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, working in me and working through me. That's the desire of my heart. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29, Paul writes, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, according to the working of his power, which works in me mightily. Paul says, I can sense the power of Christ working in me and through me as I present people perfect in Christ. That is, as God uses me to help people become more like Jesus. I experience his resurrection power working in me and through me. Now, here's the key question. How does that happen? How do we experience the same power that raised Jesus from the dead working in us and through us as we live life and as we serve people? Well, the text tells us that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I need to have the same kind of sufferings that Jesus suffered. I need to experience some hardship and some pain in life if I'm going to experience his resurrection power. Think about it. Jesus died first, suffered, I should say, first, then died, and then experience resurrection power. For us, we need to suffer first, die to ourselves and our will, so that we experience his resurrection power. That's the same formula that we need in our lives. And that's what the Bible teaches. For instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what Paul writes, beginning in verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Well, what kind of trouble, Paul? Well, he says, we were burdened beyond measure. The pressure we felt was beyond anything that we could imagine. Above all strength, so that we despaired even of life. We were willing to die. Things got so bad and so painful and so trying. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, we thought for sure that our time had come, that we were going to die. Why did God allow them to go through that? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. The reason God permitted such trying circumstances to Paul, Timothy, and Silas was so that they would no longer trust in themselves, but trust in him, that is God, who raises the dead, who delivered us, who saved us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he in the future will continue to deliver us. Hardships in life forced Paul and force us to trust God more and trust in ourselves less. We naturally are self-sufficient people, are we not? But when we get in over our head, we say, "Help, Lord." And that's when we experience his power in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And by the way, we will be here in about a month and a half as we go through the book of 2 Corinthians. And I can't wait to get to 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. Paul had experienced visions from heaven. In fact, it sounds like he was lifted up into heaven. And he heard things that nobody else has ever heard while on earth. And then he writes in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." That is, so that I don't become really proud in light of what I heard and saw. "By the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." Let's stop right there. A thorn here, if you're like me, you think of a thorn in a thorn bush. That has nothing to do with this word. This word is a wooden stake that has a point at the end that was used to drive through people, to impale somebody. That's a stake, a wooden stake, not a thorn bush. "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations," a stake in the flesh, in my flesh, the part of me that would get proud. "A stake in the flesh, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." And by the way, the implication is, in the context, it was given to me by God. God gave me the painful thorn in my flesh. "It was a messenger of Satan." And a messenger of Satan here is either an angelic being or a human being. "A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." That's the second time he uses the phrase "exalted above measure." God gave me this messenger from Satan, this painful stake in my flesh, in order for me to be humble. And in light of what I heard from my visions and revelations from heaven, I could have been proud because nobody else has ever heard this stuff. So God said, "I want to keep you humble." And the ultimate Christian virtue is humility. And so God puts the hardship in Paul's life so that he would be humble. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded, I begged with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Please, Lord, get rid of this painful stake in my flesh." And God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Hardships lead to humility, prayerful dependence upon God, which leads to resurrection power. That's the way it works. And so for us to experience the resurrection power of Christ in the present, which we can, God permits hardship in our life, which drives us to prayerful dependence, which allows us to experience the resurrection of power of Christ working in us and through us, and to see things done in us and through us which otherwise would not be done. I've been blessed with good health over the 3 decades or so that I've pastored and preached. But every once in a while, you know, I get a cold or something, but every once in a while, bronchitis, fever in 102, and Sunday still comes. And I plead with the Lord, Lord, please help me to feel better. I want to feel better, Lord, please. And it doesn't happen sometimes. But those happen to be maybe not the most eloquent sermons, but they tend to be the most effective sermons. Because I say, Lord, please help. So we can experience the power of Christ in our lives in the present. Another thing that can happen because of the resurrected Christ, we can forget the failures and pains of the past. The resurrected Christ enables us to forget the failures and pains of the past. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Paul says, I still mess up. I still sin. I'm not perfect yet. But despite that, I press on. I don't give up. I hang in there. So that I may lay hold or grab that which Christ has also laid hold of me. What has Jesus grabbed you for? What has Jesus saved you for, Paul? Well, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or have gained that thing that Jesus has laid hold on me for. But this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I forget those things which are in my past so that I can reach forward to those things which are ahead. Our past tends to debilitate us sometimes, doesn't it? Both pain and failure from the past debilitate us. We're saved. We know Jesus. We're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. But to move forward, it's like carrying a 300-pound trunk on our back. And we only inch forward because of our past. Pain, failure from our past. So Paul says, I forget those things which are from the past. And the idea here is my past no longer has a grip on me. It's not like Jesus enables us to have amnesia and we can no longer remember the painful things of our past, but they no longer have to have a grip on us. That's what he means by forgetting. So that we can move forward to the goal that Christ has for us. Which verse 14? I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God is for us to be conformed in the image of his Son. It's to be like Jesus. Paul says, my past no longer has a grip on me, no longer has a hold on me. Therefore, I can pursue becoming more like Jesus. I'm not weighed down by my past. And it's the resurrection power of Christ and that alone which enables us to be set free from our past. I've distinguished between failures and pain. Let me define them both for you as I define them. Failure are things that we have some responsibility for. Maybe a little bit of responsibility. Maybe we are totally responsible. Some things that we could do and we did. Perhaps it was a failed marriage. Perhaps it's a failed important relationship. Perhaps it's a failure on the job. Just perhaps it was a bad decision that we make and we look back and say, I just blew it. That's a failure. I had some responsibility. Pain, on the other hand, are things that just happened to us. We didn't have much of anything to do with it. We just happened to be there. People disappoint us. Expectations that we have in people, they don't happen. They don't defend us. They stab us in the back. They respond improperly to a situation and we pay for it. Things that just happen to us, those are pains. Failures, we have some responsibility. Pains, we just happen to be alive and in the wrong place at the wrong time. Only Jesus can set us free from the past, pain, and failures. Nobody else can heal the woundedness and the brokenness of our heart. Only the resurrected Christ. He's the one that helps me to forget my past, That is to have it lose its grip on me so I can pursue Christ's likeness freely, unhindered by my past. Let's look at a few scriptures. Paul, when he writes this, he had past failures and past pains. Let's look at some past pains. Again, we go to the book of 2 Corinthians. I just can't seem to get out of the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, even when we're out of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice the things that Paul lists here in verse 23. He's defending himself. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more of a minister of Christ. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, that is being beaten, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, I almost died a number of times. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. I was beaten 39 times on 5 separate occasions. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and people left me to dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, I've been in perils in water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, and besides these things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul lists here some of the pain from his past. Things that he didn't do anything wrong for. Things that just happened to him. He didn't let any of those things that I read hold him back because of the healing power of the resurrected Christ. How about past failures? Things that he did that were wrong, that he did have some responsibility for. Well, Paul had those too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Can you imagine having that on your conscience? I persecuted, I dragged people into prison who Jesus died for, who belong to Christ, who will spend eternity with him. I persecuted them mercilessly. That was a failure that he had responsibility for. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul writes that formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent or an outrageous man. But I received forgiveness because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul had past failures, things that he did that were wrong, particularly trying to kill people who were part of the body of Christ. But those things didn't hold him back. They didn't have a grip on Paul. He was able to move forward despite the past failures and despite the past pains that he suffered. And I submit to you that we need the grace and the power of Jesus to heal us from our past. I've experienced this. One of the great fears of my life, probably the greatest fear I had in life, was the fear of failure. The thought of failing, not even failing, the thought of failing had a grip on me. Part of it's probably, I think, just the way God wired me, just the way God made me. Part of it was being the oldest of 3 sons, the firstborn who had the responsibility of paving the way. Part of it, bless my dear father's heart, he wanted to make sure that I had the father that he never had. And so he put a lot of effort, if you know what I mean, on the firstborn. And so in any event, it was deeply ingrained in me. The fear of failure, it didn't go away after I gave my life to Christ and I was saved. It didn't go away at all. And then the Lord delivered me. He saved me from it. Do you know what he did? He let me fail. Publicly, in front of the whole world, he let me fail. The church plant that we were to plant didn't get planted. And everybody saw me in all my glory and all my failure. And you know what happened? We received the most incredible outpouring of God's grace from God's people. We received cards and praise and money and men who did everything they could to make sure I got a new position. It was the greatest outpouring of God's grace in my life that I ever experienced, except for the day I came to Christ. And I said to myself, this is what I've been afraid of. I've been afraid to fail. And all I've received is grace and blessings and goodness from God and his people. And you know something? I'm really good at failing now. And set free by the Lord Jesus. And he uses different methods at different times to help the past to no longer have a grip on us. Our past pain, our past failures. Sure, we can remember them, but they don't hold us back anymore. Only the resurrected Christ can do that. Amen?
Amen.
You can't shake free yourself. Nobody can shake free themselves. A therapist can't make it happen. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Number three. The resurrected Christ also enables us to have fervor for our eternal future. Experience power in the present. Forget the failures and pains of the past. He also enables us to have fervor for our eternal future. Verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yeah. I'm proud to be a citizen of the United States. Some days more than others. But ultimately, I belong to heaven. And anyone who belongs to Jesus is going to spend a lot more time in heaven than they're going to spend in the United States. Ultimately, our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to heaven. From which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the phrase, eagerly await. Really, really look forward to Jesus coming back. I do. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We're going to spend eternity in either heaven or the new heavens, the new earth. And we should really, really look forward to it. Well, why? Well, verse 21, Jesus is going to transform our lowly bodies so that they might be conformed to his glorious body. Our lowly bodies, the ones that we have, are going to be just like his perfect body. And he's going to do it by the working by which he is able to subdue all things unto himself. The same power that Jesus is going to use to be Lord over all creation is the same power he's going to use to transform our lowly body that they might be like his glorious body. Let's talk about our lowly bodies. Our bodies are wonderful, but boy, they have problems, don't they? Can you imagine never having another sleepless night? Toothache or bad hair day? No more cuts, bruises, black and blue marks, no more cancer, heart attacks, strokes, bad backs, bad knees, fingernails that we cut too close to the cuticles and they sting. No more colds. No more stomach aches. No more flu. I could go on and on and on. But we're going to get a glorious body just like Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about that glorious body, which is so different than the one that we have right now. Verse 51, I want to tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Every believer will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible body must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Our future bodies will never get old. They will never get any worse than they are. And they will never be separated from our souls. They will be immortal. So when this corruptible man has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And not only that, but we will be perfect up here. We will not only be perfect here, but we and everybody with us will be perfect here. In our minds, we will be perfectly moral. We will never think a wrong thought, neither will anybody else in the new heavens and the new earth that's with us. Therefore, there will not be any envy, pride, criticism, worry, discontentment, insecurities, and I think you get the picture. And yet, we want to hold on to life here. We don't want to go to heaven badly enough. We want to wait until we can get married before Jesus returns or we pass. We want to make sure we have a baby. We want to make sure that our granddaughter has her wedding. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The worst day in heaven is 100 times better than the best day here on earth. The worst day in heaven is 100 times better than the worst day on earth. We tend to be preoccupied with the present. We have these crazy creature comforts that we like to hold on to. Because life keeps getting easier physically, harder emotionally, but easier physically in this world that we live in. And we crave crazy creaturely comforts. But it's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that reminds us, because I live, you shall live also, John 14:19. And we're going to have perfect bodies and we're going to be perfect people, because when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, 1 John 3:2 says. And so we say to ourselves, because of Jesus' resurrection, I know what I'm going to be like for all eternity. And you know something? I want that. That's way better than anything I'm holding on to here on earth. So it helps us to have a fervor for our eternal future. Well, you know, the best reason to trust what Jesus did on the cross for us personally is so that we can spend eternity with him. And we don't have to experience punishment for all of our sins. Jesus' death on the cross takes care of all of our sins. That's reason enough. That's reason enough to trust Jesus. But we can begin to experience benefits now. We can experience him in the present. We can experience his power presently. We can forget the failures and pain of the past. And we can begin to look forward to an eternal place with him fervently in the future. Give your life to Jesus. It makes all the difference now while we're on earth, and it makes even a bigger difference after we pass away. Father, we want to pray that everyone here would have gotten something out of our time in your word. For those, Lord God, who have not trusted what Jesus did on the cross for them personally, I ask, Lord, that you would help them to contemplate the significance of the substitution of Jesus' death on the cross for them, and how Jesus can take all of their sins, and in exchange they get his perfect righteousness so that they can spend eternity with you in heaven. And for those of us, Lord, who have made that commitment, who have trusted in Christ, help us to see that the resurrection of Christ has implications for us today, our present, our past, and our future. Thank you for each person here, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. And help us have a wonderful time. Oh, Lord, yes, bless all the food downstairs also, we ask. Through Christ our Lord, amen.